at one point in our drive home from Suwannee this weekend, Tom commented on the different varieties of trees that had been planted in a neat row lining a driveway of a home tucked in the middle of many acres of farmland. His mention of the different varieties chosen by the homeowner to adorn their drive made my mind wander and wonder. Would anyone say that God prefers Bradford pear trees over ornamental cherry trees? What about crepe myrtles versus magnolias? Does God like longleaf pines better than scotch pines? This line of questioning may seem absurd. We know that God loves all plant life equally. He created the diversity and expanse, did he not? How could he possibly have a preference? And then we could take this a little deeper, maybe. Does God prefer cats or dogs? People have noted that the word dog is God spelled backwards. So does that mean that God is closer to dogs? Some here would certainly say that God does in fact have a preference for football teams. And some players seem to believe that they have God's special favor. But if God is the one true God that brought all things into being, can we really believe that God prefers one part of creation to another? Certainly we do. But does God? There's a song by Ray Stevens that was sung a lot when I was a child. Actually, there were several songs by Ray Stevens that were sung a lot when I was a child, but only one that could possibly make it into a sermon. The one that jumps to my top hits list of tunes that play incessantly in my mind begins with these words. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. The song continues that everything is beautiful in its own way. This is obviously a song that had intent in the era in which I grew up. The civil rights movement was in full swing, followed quickly by the very disputed war in Vietnam. People were at odds with each other. There was turmoil and uncertainty and confusion and anger and fear and malice. The world was changing in ways that made many people quite uncomfortable. Vietnam was the first war that was played out on television. For the first time in the history of the world, good people at home had the ravages of war brought into their homes. There were hard and disturbing images in the evening news as families sat down for dinner. The youthful naivety of our country was being chipped away dramatically and could not be returned. Naivety can never be returned. And while the war in Vietnam and the wars that have followed have been hotly debated, not one of us has anything but the deepest respect and admiration for the brave folks who have gone to war to serve our country. On this weekend, we set aside time to remember with deep gratitude those brave men and women who gave their very lives. These are not old people who have lived a long life. They were young people who had, by all expectations, much more life to be lived and much more to accomplish and experience. I've heard it said quite often that God has something to do with when people die. Do we really believe that God prefers some people over others? What sort of God would intentionally kill a child? Or a young soldier? Or anyone for that matter? If in fact God chooses when people die, why is God's list so different from most of ours? Today is a day known as Pentecost. It's a day that is traditionally viewed as the inception of the church's birthday. And when we look at the events that began the church, what we might find might be categorized as startling or unnerving. The close followers of Christ are, we are told, all together in one place. And at first glance, that sounds like a good thing. They're all together. Thomas is not missing this time. All seems well. And when they are gathered all together in their comfortable and safe place, thinking that they are protecting themselves from persecution by the Roman Empire, the wild and unleashing Holy Spirit breaks into their one place and sends them out to the place of the many. There were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, we hear. And the apostles were sent out of their comfortable, safe place and given what they needed to speak to this broad and diverse group so that they too could be brought into the fold. This was so crazy and out there that some folks thought these guys, and probably women too, were drunk. Think about that image for a minute. The apostles were running around and acting like what Bishop Michael Curry would call crazy Christians. They are freed of all hesitation and inhibition. They are literally on fire. And they want to share that fire with everybody. Everybody. I know I say this a lot, and I'm going to say it again, and probably again and again. We do not have a corner on the racism and prejudice market. These folks had serious issues with folks considered the other. And yet they go out into the throngs of humanity, sharing God's spirit and love, and telling people about what they have experienced with Jesus. Our world today is really not that different than it was when I was a child. Certainly, black folks can enter public places which white folks frequent, and that is a monumental step in the right direction. But are we working more closely together, or are we farther apart? Do we believe that we have gained a lot of ground in alleviating racial tensions? Events in our world seem to indicate that we have not. We all have our own prejudices. For some reason, categorizing and separating others seems to be a part of the human condition. There are people and categories of people that we are skeptical about and are certain that they are not trustworthy. Pentecost, this day in the history of God's love for God's creation, is the day that reversed the separation that happened in Genesis at the Tower of Babel, where the people got together for ill and wanted to be God. This day reminds the people of God that God's Spirit guides us outside ourselves, outside our comfortable spaces, and into the world. If we invite God's Spirit into our midst, and probably even if we don't, those who were separated will be united. At Pentecost, tongues of fire land on the complacent and afraid and move them out and make them bold. Because of the working of the Spirit in God's people, all are included and brought into the outstretching, loving arms of God. Let this be so. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.